again. Welcome back to Success Made to Last, the podcast that looks at how we can live the best version of ourselves. Today, this is Tim Moore, and today we have Dr. Ken Blanchard again with us. We've done three or four podcasts with him already and a video. Hello, Ken.
Good, Tim.
Hello again, I should say, right?
I know, it's good to see you.
And,
or hear you.
Well, it's good to be seen as well. anyway, Ken, as all those of you out there probably know by now, is one of the most influential business and management and leadership, especially thought leaders of the last 50 years, and the author of many books, including, of course, The 1 Minute Manager. Ken, when you walk around the buildings here, all the people light up because, you're walking through the building, and they're not lighting up because the boss is showing up. I mean, I've been in enough companies to know that. They seem to be lighting up because, you've helped them to figure some stuff out, and, with your books, with your morning messages. And it makes, when I think about you, I think about Carol Dweck's book, Mindset. You were probably familiar with, and in that book, she talks about two kinds of people: those who believe that their gifts are bounded, and those who believe in an abundance mentality for constant growth. You're Mr. Abundance. Where did that come from?
I think it probably came from my mom and dad. Who just had an abundance philosophy. My dad said, Ken, don't worry about money. If you need it, it'll eventually show up, And share. Be abundant, And so I think that when Marge and I started this company, we wanted people to really feel this was almost like coming to a family. And we break all the rules because we have husbands and wives working together. We got kids here and all that. And our family... Margie and I and our son Scott just took over as president, and our daughter Debbie runs our marketing department, and Margie's brother Tom, who was born when she was a freshman at Cornell, he's our CEO. And so we have a family council, and we meet once a quarter with an outside consultant, and we just constantly want to create an environment where people feel, wow, I'm glad to be here. We've been fortunate enough to be chosen one of the top companies to work for within San Diego for a number of years, and that's as much a goal as anything, because if we love what we do and we love each other, we're going to take care of our customers.
You were fortunate enough to, as you said, to grow up with people who taught you an abundance mentality, but lots of people are raised by folks who don't have abundance mentalities. And maybe they walk out of childhood and adolescence without one. Lots of people, one of our causes that we are proselytizing is the fatherless community in America. High percentage of people who don't have a father. The likelihood in those circumstances is that they're not going to have an abundance mentality. What is it that one can do to help someone to get that abundance mentality? It just doesn't fall out of the sky.
Well, I think it first starts with, how do you feel about yourself? One of the things that I try to do with people who don't have abundance is to help them realize that God didn't make any junk, that they're really very special. And let's talk about what the skills and the strengths that you have and all. And you should be proud of those. And then what kind of people can you gather around you that kind of, build on your strengths but add to it. And just because if people get comfortable with themselves and feel good about themselves, they're willing to share their knowledge, their money, whatever, with other people. But if you're not feeling good about yourself, your clothes, you're kind of protecting and all. So it all starts with realizing that you're beautiful. That doesn't mean you have all the gifts in the world, but you're a very special person. As my mother would say, there's a pearl of goodness in you. How can we help you find that?
You've been a great collector of people over the years. 65 books, I think 63 of them written with somebody else. And when we were meeting even earlier today, that you were talking about three or four or five people that recently you've met that you want to partner with in some way, either a business partnership. What kind of people do you look for to partner with?
Well, it's really interesting. A friend of mine, Jim Ballard, taught me, it says, if you're going to think about working with somebody, there's two aspects of it. There's one is essence and the other is form. Essence is about a heart-to-heart, and form is what are we going to do. Be careful about people who want to jump to form right away. What you want to do is you want to say if you have the same value. So like last night, my wife and I had dinner with Marcus Buckingham,
you know,
and his
he sold a few books over his time, right?
And he's down here with a potential strategic relationship, but we want to really see where were we in terms of values and what we're thinking about the world. And I'm constantly looking for people who kind of see the world in a positive way, and we can maybe make a difference together out there. I don't want people that kind of come and see and they want to come because they just want to sell more books. I want to say why, you know, what do you got in mind? What's your goal in life? And so essence is important, and I've tried to avoid working with people who just care about the form.
That's very interesting. That's a really good answer. Not that I'm surprised. but that reminds me, you know, we've asked you a lot of questions today, and what's really interesting to watch is we haven't prepared you with any of these questions, and you always have an answer. And it reminds me of when I was 18 years old in high school, a fellow who became a lifelong friend until he died in 2013. His name was Father Oliver Nickerson. We called him Ollie. Leaving the context out, I remember he said to us once that virtually the only really good thing about getting older was the accretion of experience. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the richness of experience. And I've known you for 22 years, but I didn't know you when you were 18 or 20. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that as a statement about getting older? Or what would you say is the thing that you've learned most profoundly as you've gotten older, that you didn't know when you were younger?
When I worked with Norman Vincent Peale, he was 86 years old. And Norman said, if you stop learning, lie down and let him put the dirt on you because you're already dead. And so I really like people who are constantly learning. And I'm excited that, you know, I just celebrated the 59th anniversary of my 21st birthday, that, you know, what can I learn in the future that I could help other people with, and also I like to be around people who are learners and are constantly pushing their knowledge rather than sort of say I've settled, I've done it, I've accomplished what I want. No, there's more to learn, and today life is moving along pretty fast, and you better you know, see if you can jump on board and see what you can learn.
Yeah, but people who continue to look forward are people who want to learn, and they tend to outlive the rest of us too, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, it seems to me as I've gotten older, I watch other people. you know, diseases aside, you know, cancer and stuff like that. But that aside, it's the people who continue to look forward.
Yeah.
Who seem to last the longest, don't they?
When I turned 65, I was on the phone with Zig Ziglar, and Ziggy had asked Margie and I to come to his 80th birthday party. And I said, Zig, are you going to retire? He said, there's no mention of it in the Bible. He said, except for Jesus, Mary, and David, nobody under 80 made an impact. I'm refiring, not retiring. And I thought, wow, what a powerful concept. And I ended up writing a book with colleague Mort Shavitz, who was the head of the psych department at UC San Diego, called Refire, Don't Retire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We dedicated it to Zig, who was just a wonderful guy. I did sessions with him on feet, and I've never been around a guy who was more interested in learning and being positive in people's lives. So I think that's a really key thing.
When you look over all the books that you've written, I don't think I've ever asked you this, and maybe there's not an answer, but you'll tell me. Do you have a favorite?
It's usually the last one I did.
Well, that makes sense, though, yeah. Doesn't it? Because yeah. That's the freshest, and
sure,
yeah, and you're also wondering how it'll do out in the marketplace. That's yeah, fair, yeah, but that's a bit of a cop out. I mean, yeah. but I mean, if you really, really had to put a gun to your head, would there be a favorite, or is that really the right answer?
Well, that's because I think about what the favorites. I have to think about who I did it with, you know.
Ah, that's true. So, one of
my favorites is, yeah. is the one I did with you with Colleen Barrett, you know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Lead with Love.
That was fun, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, what she and Herb have done with Southwest was really pretty amazing and just exciting. And Gary Ridge, who's just turned WD-40 completely around and, you know, help people win at work, you know. So my favorites are just get down to the people that I got to work with. And like Don Shula, he just turned 90 years
mm-hmm,
old. And I
mm-hmm,
called
mm-hmm.
him on the phone and I said, "Happy birthday, youngster." And he said, "I can still kick your ass." You know, I mean, and it was just fun, you know, because he still got that old get up and go.
Well, you know, it's funny. I thought of you when I saw him get honored as one of the Pro Football 100, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought, wow, bet you Ken's got a big smile on his face,
right, yeah.
You know, because you've known him a long time.
That's right. Wonderful guy.
Unbelievable. Well, let's wrap this one up today for everybody out there. This is Success Made to Last. You can go see our inventory at successmadetolast.com. And for today, this is Tim Moore with Ken Blanchard, and thank you, Ken.
Well, good, Tim. It's great to be with you.
So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.